This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about how to respond in faith to any situation.
Today, we're starting a new series of messages on living by faith. Faith is central to the Christian life. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And every one of us lives by faith already, whether we know it or not. How many of you have faith in the Sheraton Hotel? Let's see your hands. How many of you have faith in the Sheraton? Now, those of you who didn't raise your hands, I assume that before you came in this place, you hired a structural engineer to come and examine it and make sure the roof wouldn't fall in. Amen? If you didn't do that, you are exercising what? Faith in the Sheraton. You believe them when they say, this place will stand up. Before you sat down in that chair, how many of you got down and looked under it and made sure that the legs were okay? And because let me tell you something. Sometimes you do need to do that. But you didn't do that. Why? You had faith. You were exercising faith. What is faith? Faith is simply trust. Simply trust. And when we talk about faith in God, what we're talking about is simply trusting God to come through for us in our lives. And there's some specific ways that God says he's going to do that. But there's some things that we need to do to get in the flow of faith so that God is able to respond in our lives. And that's what we want to begin to look at in this series of messages, living by faith, because the word tells us that the just are to live by faith. We want to learn how to live by faith. Now, something you need to know. How many of you want to walk in faith in your life? Anybody here want to do that? Amen. Do you know there's somebody that doesn't want that to happen in your life? You've got an enemy that wants to destroy your faith because he knows that faith and walking in faith and trusting God and depending on him is what's going to bring you to the abundant life, and he doesn't want you to have it. We've got an enemy that will do anything he can to destroy your faith. And so we want to look at today an episode that happened in the life of Hezekiah, who was the king of Judah, where the devil came against him in an effort to defeat him by destroying his faith. We read the passage in 2 Kings chapter 19. Let's look at that this morning and see how the devil came against the people of God and see what King Hezekiah did to overcome the attack that was meant to destroy him. If you remember what was read this morning, the king of Assyria decided to make war on the nation of Judah. So what he did was he sent a letter to King Hezekiah. And this letter, if you go over to 2 Kings chapter 19, look at verse 10. Look at what was in this letter. It says, "Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by utterly destroying them. And shall you be delivered?" You see, the king of Assyria sent this letter to Hezekiah. Now, what was the purpose? If he knew that he had all of the forces he needed to destroy Hezekiah, why didn't he just come up and do it? Why did he send a letter? You know what the purpose of the letter was? To intimidate and discourage Hezekiah and thereby to destroy his faith. Anybody here play poker? Let me put it this way then. I'll let you off the hook. Is there anybody here who's ever played poker? Oh, come on. Amen. All right. Now, they tell me about that game. I'll be honest with you. When I was in college, I used to play penny ante poker, okay? And that was too rich for my blood, so I gave it up, you know. I lost too many pennies. But here's the thing about the game of poker. You can have a nothing hand. Nothing. A pair of deuces. But if you can find a way to discourage your opponents, to make them think that you got more than you got, you can take that pair of deuces and win the pot. If you can just discourage them. You see, what the king of Assyria was doing is saying, I don't want to have to fight. And so let me send this letter to Hezekiah. See that if I can discourage him, get him to give up before the battle even starts, and I've won. Don't have anything but a pair of deuces, but I can win. Amen. Understand this. That's what the devil is trying to do in our lives every day. Now, I have to tell you something. The scripture tells me that the devil don't even have a pair of deuces. He's got nothing in his hand. In fact, Jesus has already defeated him. He is a defeated enemy. He has nothing. But those of you who have played poker, how often have you had your opponent turn up his hand and say, now, before you bet, see, I've only got a pair of deuces here. I just want you to know what I got. No, it doesn't work that way. What is this? What do they do? They hold their cards close so nobody can see it. And then they look up at you with that little smile of confidence on their face. Like, they're still going like this. Uh-huh, yeah. And they swagger a little bit. And then they say, okay, go ahead, put your bet down. And as soon as you put your bet down, they, boom, hit it with something else. Raise it. Why? They want to make you think, man, I got it. Four aces right here in my hand. Now see, that's what the devil is doing to us. He's already defeated. But he doesn't want you to know he doesn't have anything in his hand. So he'll come up to you and he'll present himself to you as if you don't back down, I'm going to blow you away. That's the way he operates. That's it. That's what he does every day of our lives, trying to destroy our faith, because he knows this. Jesus has already given us the victory. And if we will just stand up and fight the battle with the weapons that he's given us, what does the scripture say? Resist the devil, and what must he do? He will flee from you. If you know how to fight the battle, if you know how to stand your ground, if you know he has nothing in your hand and you have everything in your hand, all you have to do is stand, let Jesus fight the battle for us, because he said what? He'll fight the battles. Amen. Let him fight the battle in our behalf. Watch the devil flee. But what he's going to come to you and say is, you better give up. You don't have anything going for you. Give up. Because if you don't, you're going to be destroyed. Whether it's your marriage, your finances, your health, whatever the situation is, the devil is going to come to you and say, you're not going to make it. You can't make it. I'm going to destroy you in this area of your life, so you might as well give up. Look at what the devil did to Hezekiah. Look at how he came at him and tried to discourage him and destroy his faith. We're in 2 Kings chapter 19. Look at verse 13. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hannah and Iva? You see, he's saying this, look. Look at what I've already done to everybody else that I've come up against. Hezekiah, you think you're going to stand up to me? Look at all these other kings that I've already destroyed. You know what the devil was using? He was using history. He was using history. He said, Hezekiah, I'm going to give you a history lesson. Now, I came up against this king and I wiped him out. And then a little few months later, I came up against this king and I wiped him out. And then just a couple of weeks after that, I came up against this king and he's destroyed. And now you're on the list next. And what do you think is going to happen to you? History. You know what the devil will do? He'll come to your life and he'll give you a history lesson. Remember when you were trying to overcome this problem last year? What happened to you? You didn't make it then and you won't make it now. How many of you ever do New Year's resolutions? How many of you do them? Amen. How many of you do them successfully? I'm looking for some hands. I don't see any hands. Amen. Every year we make this resolution, this year is going to be different from the way it was last year in this area of my life. I'm going to get slimmer. I never make that resolution. Or I'm going to exercise more, watch TV less, whatever it is. And 3 months into the year, what are we saying to ourselves? Well, we're probably not saying anything because we forgot the whole thing by then. And so the next year comes around and we get ready to make another resolution. And what's the devil say? Well, what happened to you last year? What makes you think that this year is going to be any different from the last time you tried this? History lesson. Have any of you ever tried to overcome a habit or problem in your life and failed? Anybody admit to that? Amen. Mm-hmm. Anybody ever failed more than once? Amen. I'm getting unanimity today. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now, do you know that God can overcome any problem in your life? But when you get ready to bring that thing to God, when you get ready to have that thing dealt with in your life, the devil is going to come up to you and say, look back at every time you failed. What makes you think is going to be any different this time? He'll give you a history lesson. Understand this, God is not bound by history. Amen? God does not consult a history book before he decides what power he's going to pour into your life to overcome your situation and your circumstances. But the devil will try to put it in your mind, because I didn't do it last time, because I've tried before and failed, I can't expect God to give me the victory now. Another way that the devil tried to discourage Hezekiah. Look in verse 11 of 2 Kings 19. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands by utterly destroying them. And shall you be delivered? He says, look, let me count them up for you. There were 47 other lands. Now, I made that number up. But there were 47 other lands that we've already conquered. And you think that you, number 48, are going to be different? What was he using? He was using statistics. Using statistics. Statistics tell us that more than 25% of young black men are going to find themselves someplace in the criminal justice system. And so what will the devil come to you and say? Well, just make up your mind. Your son, at some point in his life, is going to be in the prison system. Statistics. Statistics tell us that women only make a certain proportion of what men of equal skills make in the job market. So when you get ready to go out and get that job, what's the devil going to whisper in your ear? Well, don't try for that. They've never had a woman there. They probably don't want one. Settle for something less. Statistics. Statistics tell us that more than 50% of all marriages now fail. And so when you start having difficulty in your marriage, what's the devil going to come and whisper in your ear? Well, it's happening all the time. What makes you think you're any different? Statistics. The devil will come to you and try to show you how it's gone wrong for so many other people, and why do you think it's now going to go right for you? Well, let me tell you why. You got God on your side. God is not bound by statistics. How many Christian women, single women, have I seen so discouraged because they look around the church and say, there are no Christian men to marry? And you know what God is saying? You don't have to worry about how many are missing. All you need is one. And I can give you that. Amen. Amen. Statistics. The devil will use statistics, what everybody else is saying, what's happened in everybody else's life, to try to discourage you. Look at what else he does. Look at verse 12. 2 Kings 19:12. Have the gods of the nations delivered those by whom my fathers have destroyed Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the people of Eden who are in Telassar? Now look at what he's saying here. Look at what's happened to everybody else that we come up against. Everybody else that we have ever come and brought our army against, they have been wiped out. What makes you think you're going to be any different? You know what the devil will come to you and say? Oh, you went to the doctor. The doctor told you you had Umajumajuma disease. Now, I want to bring it to your remembrance. You had an aunt that had Umajumajuma disease, and she died in 6 months. Or here's the way he usually does it. He doesn't just bring it to your mind. He'll bring a friend along. He's like, oh, you got Umajumajuma disease. I had an aunt. And you say, thank you for the encouragement. Amen. But the devil wants you to look at what's happened to everybody else and say, well, if it didn't work for them, if God didn't come through for them, why do I think he's going to come through for me? Just like God is not bound by history or statistics, God is not bound by what happened in somebody else's life. But you see, these are all the ways that the devil will come to us and try to make us think that he's got a royal flush in his hand, when all he's got is just some scattered cards that don't add up to anything. Look at another way that he comes at you. 2 Kings chapter 19, look at verse 10. Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, the king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. See what he said? Don't let your God deceive you. How many of you know that God has promised that if you belong to him, he's going to supply every need that you have in life? How many of you know that? I once was young and now I'm old, but I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen? That's what the word says. That's the promise of God. My God shall supply 75% of my need, all my need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Jehovah Jireh, what is he? My provider. Hallelujah. See, that's what God has said. And so what's the devil going to come along and whisper in your ear? Just like he whispered to Hezekiah, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you. Because what's he going to say? Well, God said he'd supply every need, but look at your situation right now. You got bills. You don't see any money coming in. Yeah, I know you heard down at that church that God's going to supply your need, but what do you see in your pocketbook, in your bank account? You've been deceived. You see, if he can't get anything else, the one thing he wants us to do is to stop trusting God. What he wants us to do is look at the situation we find ourselves in and say, man, I don't see God doing anything for me in this situation. I guess it just doesn't work for me. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. Here's the trap that the devil is trying to get us to fall into. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance or patience or perseverance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, do you know that the devil knows Scripture? The devil knows Scripture. Truth be told, he knows it better than some of us. Amen. And the devil will come along to you and say, look at this. You can lose even after you have done the will of God. Do you know that? You can do the will of God and never see it pay off in your life. And the devil will come and whisper that in your ear. Say, yeah, I know you've been doing the will of God. I know you've been faithfully tithing. I know that you've been committed to the Lord, walking with him in your life on a day-by-day basis. I know that you have been in the Word and growing and developing in Christ, but you can do all that and still not make it. See, it's there in the Scripture. Hebrews chapter 10. Didn't you see it? But what's the lie? Yeah, it does say that we don't want to be doing the will of God and miss out on the promise. But what's the answer to that? Don't cast away your confidence. Keep hold of your confidence. What's confidence? It's just trust, isn't it? That's just faith in God, isn't it? That's just believing that God will come through on what he's promised, isn't it? And so he's saying, look, the way that you make sure that you have not done all that you've done in vain is simply to hold on to your confidence even when you can't see it with your eyes. Hold on to your confidence even when you don't know how God could possibly make it happen in your life. Let's look at how Hezekiah responded and see if we can't find some lessons on what we need to do when the devil comes up in our face and tries to discourage us from trusting God. Look in verse 14 of 2 Kings 19. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. Stop right there. He received this letter from the king of Assyria and he read it. And then it tells us he went on to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Here's what I want you to see. Hezekiah did not go into denial about a problem that he had. He was not saying, oh, well, you know, I know God's on our side, so there's no problem. I don't need to read this thing. Just no, what did he do? He took it out. He read it. He understood the implications of it. And then he was in a position to do something about it. God never tells us to deny that we have challenges in our life. It's not faith to deny that you don't feel good today. Amen? If you don't feel good, guess what? You don't feel good. That's fact. That's the truth. Now, facts have implications. And the implication of that fact is not that, well, you don't feel good, you're just going to not feel good. There are other implications that you can draw. In Psalm, it says that just as he forgives all our iniquities, what? He heals all our diseases. So guess what? I can call upon the name of the Lord. He is the God of healing. See, that's the implication that follows from the fact that I need healing. But to deny that I need healing, if you don't have a problem, why do you need a solution? And so if you're not willing to look at your situation, understand the dimensions of your problem, then you don't know how to come before God and ask for what you need. Hezekiah did not deny that he had a problem. He read that letter, found out what the situation was, then he knew how to come before God. Let's look at the next thing that he did. Look at verse 14. Oh, I like this one. Really like this one. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Did you see it? He took this letter, took this thing that was a threat to his life, a threat to his entire kingdom, took this thing, took it up to the house of the Lord, and what did he do? He spread it out before the Lord. Now, don't miss this. This is the key. You have challenges and problems in your life. You need to take them and spread them out before the Lord. How many of you remember when you were a kid? You prayed, now I lay me down to sleep. Anybody pray that prayer? I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, what? I pray the Lord my soul to take. How many of you prayed that prayer last night? How many of you? As we have grown and matured in Christ, we realize that that's a good starting point, but we need to go beyond that. Amen? How did you pray last night or this morning? I hope that you came before the Lord and you said, Lord, these are some of the situations that are happening in my life, and I want to lay it out before you. Lord, I do need the rent for next Monday. And I don't know where it's going to come from, but Lord, I'm trusting you. I know that you have promised that you would never leave me and never forsake me, that you would supply all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know you're going to supply it, Lord. So I'm asking you, I'm laying this thing out before you. You see, when you take the situations and the problems and the challenges that face you in life and lay them out before the Lord, every time you lay it out before him, you take it off your shoulder and put it in his hands. I no longer have to carry that burden. Hezekiah laid his situation out before the Lord, and that took the burden off of his shoulders and put it onto God. How many of you worry? Let's see. Come on, worriers. Okay. Amen. How many of you lie? How many of you just lied when you didn't raise your hand as a worrier? Amen. Amen. Yeah. You want to know what to do about your worry? Hezekiah came before the Lord and specifically laid out and asked the Lord for exactly what he needed to deal with his situation. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In everything, in everything, in every situation, no matter how trivial it is, no matter how difficult it is, in everything, let your requests be made known unto God. And when in everything you let your requests be made known unto God, guess what? What's left to worry about? What's left to worry about? See, that's what Hezekiah was doing. He took his situation and laid it before the Lord. Now, can God start cars? Think he can? Do you think God understands ignition systems and the internal combustion engine and gasoline and all that kind of stuff? It said, in how much? In everything. You see, that's what the devil doesn't want. That's what he wants to discourage you from doing, because he knows that if you take it before the Lord, what's God going to do? Go down and look at verse 20. 2 Kings 19, verse 20. If you come before the Lord in confidence, in faith, trusting him, and lay out your situation before him, what do you expect to happen? What has God promised will happen? Look at verse 20. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. You lay it out before the Lord. What's the promise that God has made to you? He will hear your prayer. Why is it that so much of the time the challenges and problems and circumstances of our lives are not being set right by the hand of God? You have not because you ask not. That's what the devil's strategy is in your life. If he can keep you from coming in confidence and laying your challenges before God, he will get you to be defeated without even having to fight the battle. You know, sometimes I almost feel sorry for the devil. I don't, but almost. Because when we take up the weapons that we have been given, and stand and fight the battle and do not allow ourselves to be discouraged by the circumstances that we face, the devil has no chance. He is already defeated, and we have the victory.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin. inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.